3-0, entity of 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Talking Sound Podcast, the only podcast where negative 10 is a number to be desired. Coming at you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll that is Austin, Texas. Tonight, we are here at the Austin Music Rooms with the fantastic Our Band. Welcome, guys. I have been working forever to get these guys on. Let's just kind of go around and introduce ourselves, what we do in the band, and then we'll get started.
My name is Kardik. I'm the lead singer. I play rhythm guitar in Our Band.
Your turn.
My turn?
Yeah.
My name is Moshe. I play the bass and sing backing vocals.
My name is Brock, and I go by Drumkiller7, and I play drums.
I'm Brian. I play guitar in Our Band and create havoc where I can.
Our band. You guys, like I said, I've been trying to get these guys on for the longest time. I know I've mentioned them in previous podcasts before whenever we've had bands from the space here on the show. And you guys are on the cusp of just finishing a new album called Infinity, which is fantastic. It's a 5-track album. Y'all went out, actually just recently played a relief festival for the flood victims in Wimberley. How did that go, guys?
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really great.
Great show. Giving back to the community. It means a lot to us because that's what music's supposed to do. And we realize that. So whenever we have an opportunity to do that, we always try to do that.
Fantastic.
Raised some money up there. It was an auction.
Oh, yeah.
Auctioning off artwork. It was awesome.
Great. Fantastic. Well, now, speaking of artwork, before we came on, we're all a little bit glistening here, so to speak. I guess we just got finished playing a little while, and that was super fun. I hear you guys playing through your door all the time. I've been in there a couple times while y'all are jamming, and it was more than a pleasure to actually be in there playing with y'all a little bit tonight, adding some of my weird craziness on top of it. I guess, what drives y'all whenever y'all are playing?
For me, and just being in the band for so long, for 10 years, I really think it's a lot of things we deal with during the day and what goes on in life. When we come together, for some reason, we're able to express it very uniquely through our music. So we've always connected on that for like the past 10 years. So it's kind of I'd like to say it's a soundtrack to our life because we're really expressing what we're experiencing. So, I mean, the music is, that's what it means to at least me in the band. I don't know, what do y'all think?
Kind of the cornerstone of our existence. You just go through normal day-to-day life challenges, and sometimes you get lost. And then you always have the band to come back to and, like, center you.
Yeah.
And know that everything's great, and you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, it's very cyclical for me as well. It's like, there's these moments, and the longer that we've been a band, the longer these cycles have been. It's like, we'll go off and we'll all be working our jobs and everything, and then we'll come back like 3 or 4 weeks later, and it's just like, that's where all the energy and everything just comes back together. It's like everything just gets torn apart and reassembled.
Yeah. And I mean, that was definitely present in the room. I'm a big fan of synergy. Before we started the show, you know, I always sit around and just talk with people for a little while, things like that. Before we started the show, we were talking about frequencies, outer space, things like that, just all kinds of wild stuff. And I'm a big, big believer, even as an audio engineer, in the concept of synergy. When a band is clicking on stage, when they're actually like playing together, you can feel that like across the room. And they're like, even just being in the room with you guys while y'all were jamming, and like you said, it'd been weeks since y'all had actually been together. It'd been since the Wimberly, benefit. Yeah, and, you know, the fact that after 3 weeks, there's still that visceral energy in the room when y'all play together. Like, as someone who is apart from the band, I could definitely feel that while y'all were playing. And where does that take y'all while y'all play?
I mean, I think it's like it's an amazing concept of music, like regardless mm-hmm. of how you really approach it, right? Is this concept of synergy. And, you know, I think the four of us together have really recognized that that is something that takes like a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like a wonderful concept that you have to hustle every day. Mm-hmm. You have to be, you know, constantly just a part of each other's lives, and especially as a band. So for us, I think that the synergy has really taken, it's something that we don't take it for granted at all. Like the four of us are just, we try to be really tight. We've been, like Karthik was saying, we've been playing music for like 10 years together. But you know, we think it's work. It's just the work ethic, you know, and that's kind of the way we approach this, even that concept, which I think is something that we recognize as a band, you know, that synergy is important, like communicating with each other on that other level, you
yeah.
know, that's more than words or gestures and stuff like that,
yep.
you know, but it's something that everybody can find and relate to, you know,
yeah.
in their own lives and relationships that you have, you know, sometimes you just hit that other level, you know,
yep.
and we're fortunate that we hit that level. We feel like we hit that level, you know, and now it's just a constant pursuit just to get tighter and play in more studios and play more shows and you know, show more people our music.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where we've really taken that synergy vibe, you know?
Absolutely. Now, as far as the new album goes, how long did it take to actually conceive of it? Because, I mean, y'all are, I'm not going to say you're the average Joe of a band. It's yeah. not like normal everyday rock and roll. It's very progressive. It's very intricately arranged. And the music that brought us in was actually the track Enemy off your new album. Yeah. What was some of the inspiration
well,
that
we,
brought
we,
that
we
track around?
Stop you first and say thanks, man. That's a huge compliment to us. Yeah. You know, we're like, man, we're just, you know, playing music. Like, you know, it's just fun. It's about having fun, you know, but that's a huge compliment for us.
Well, I mean, thank you. Thank you.
You know, I'm sure that like one of these guys can speak
to
Enemy.
The first time we played Enemy, we were in one of the smaller rooms.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as big as the one we have. I think all of us were going through some like the normal day, like some stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Like Karthik was saying, just bringing the everyday to what
yeah.
you're doing.
Yeah, and then it was kind of, I don't know, we were just kind of like frustrated in our own little world or whatever, and no one was really talking to each other, not like angry at each other, they were just kind of like, all right, here we are, let's go through the motions or whatever.
Sure.
And then we just started playing, mm-hmm. and it's like you could feel each one of our spirits like lifting, like as we were playing the song, like we just got into it, and there was a groove, and we had no idea where it was coming from.
Yeah,
we were just like, this is cool, and then we're like, oh, cool. We didn't even need to like talk and ask like, oh, what's wrong? It was just like us talking to each other and
yeah.
like, unleashing like all of like the pain or whatever we had, and then it just like came out like. Pretty immediate.
Yeah.
And we were listening to a lot of Rage at the time.
Yeah.
I think that song has a, you know, a little bit of our Rage influence in it. I mean, we cover a Rage song. We like,
sure.
They're obviously huge. When you listen to our music, you can, I hope that you can tell. That
yeah. You can hear twinges
you know?
Of it in there.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Speaking of Rage, Zach's got a new project out. It's like Run the Jewels.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's a hip hop group. It's
What's sick. That all about?
Oh, man. I think.
Wait, is he in that band?
No, I think that's
LP and
Killer Mike, right?
Yeah.
He might have been on a track with him.
Yeah, he was like featuring or something.
Christopher, our buddy, ran into him at some like sandwich shop in LA. was okay. Like telling us.
All right. A vegan restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. A vegan restaurant.
Getting a chickpea wrap and you run into some rage against it. Yeah, you don't really think of really Rage Against the Machine as vegan. It's like you think of it more of like a meat and potatoes steak kind of band. But
I feel like everybody says that with Rage, like they're just so awesome that you can like make that like, well, you know, they're older now.
They are incredibly awesome. You know, yeah,
but their
yeah.
show still fucking slays. And
it
like,
does. Yeah. They are. They're well, absolutely
through, they through protesting everything. Yeah. They found new ways of life.
Absolutely. New ways of life. Before we, like I said, we sit around and talk before we start. And before we started, we were actually talking about chakras, things like that. I was mentioning that I had done some work on a chakra album, stuff like that. Yeah. And you said that you'd recently been getting into that and kind of studying some of it. What have you been looking into with it?
I mean, I come from an Indian family, so that that theory about the body and how we have energy points is kind of like lived through the culture in that society or whatnot.
Absolutely.
So I grew up here as an American Texas boy, you know, just very American culturized.
Sure.
And as I got older, I started reading more and more about the world, where I came from.
Wait, you're
not
going to throw in a Ghost Spurs Go there?
Ghost Spurs Go? Yeah.
You're talking about where you're from. Sure.
Yeah, man. San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio.
Hey, Marcus Aldridge. That's who we just got.
That's it.
Yeah, so I started researching more about it because they really say we're all kind of like vibrations or whatnot.
And, yeah.
Between the four of us, when we rock out, I feel so connected with everything when we rock out that I almost feel like, well, like this connection's like far deeper, which I think it's like the vibrations that we're all kind of giving off to each other, right? Like vibes are the sounds.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, earlier you were playing around with your vocoder and your auto-tune, talking about how great it'd be to do some Jewish music with the auto-tune, and we were playing around. But, you know, one of the things that, I mean, I actually studied world religion for a long time. Not many people, I'm not going to say really my dirty secret, but something I don't really tell most people is that I actually studied to be a Catholic seminarian at one point in life. And that led me to the study of world religions, philosophy, things like that.
No, it's definitely an interesting pursuit, you know.
Well,
it's interesting because, like, for us, we're all, you know, religious, spiritual people, you know, and in touch with it, you know. We try to be just like it's something that anything that expands the mind,
absolutely. Well,
from, you know, and that's why for us, like, music is.
Also, communication.
You know,
it is.
It's not by no way is it like an organized religion. But,
no, no.
But it is like a way to communicate with people in a very spiritual way.
It is.
So,
absolutely. And, you know, even whenever you look at sacred music, you know, if you look at the scales that are used in Gregorian chant, like most of the scales that we know and use nowadays are based on that, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, even looking at the frequencies of the chakra, you know, like we were saying, the points of the chakra, the seven points, all associated with the color of the spectrum, which immediately gives it a hertz rate, which means it has a tone or a note applied to it.
Yeah.
And
dude, Kartik was going off, dude.
You know, it's wild. Like,
this fool knows. This fool knows.
It was we were tuning our instruments down.
Yep.
We were like, that's good.
Below 440.
Yeah.
Because 440 is the adulterated scale.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 432. Yep. That's the actual natural scale.
That was really trippy.
It's really wild, isn't it? Yeah. Like the sounds that come out and that get generated.
Like,
and
at first, it's like a little
warmer,
prickly.
Yeah.
Like, you're not like feeling. You're like, it's kind of awkward. But as soon as you like let go of yourself and just like focus in on the energy that's in the room or whatever. It's like,
it
takes you somewhere that you've never been.
It's really wild. It is really intense, you know. And I mean, I actually studied Kabbalah for a long time. I studied Vedic culture and readings. And that's where I actually based a lot of my music for years, was off of sounds that came from that, off things that I heard in the rites, rituals, that kind of stuff. And, you know, it is something that music is the transcendent language to me. It's a language that goes beyond border, beyond, I guess, social meme. You know, right. It moves you in a way that it doesn't matter. Like, you can go to Barbados and listen to music and still want to dance just as much as you do whenever you go to India and listen to music.
Yeah.
There is something about it that literally moves you inside.
I mean, I look at it as like harmony, right? It's like...
The music makes
sorry. It got me, dude.
No, it's very true, man. Yeah, like, yeah. It's harmony, man. Like, if you look in the end, we're all just looking for that harmonic composition that brings us all together, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes when it, like, they say, like, you like a song or you like something about it, maybe it is that harmony that's hitting that person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is like a vibration. I totally believe that, man, you know? And it's like, when you click on that level, I mean, ultimately, I think in music, you hopefully affect a lot of people with it, right?
Exactly.
Like, you make them feel better about life. I mean, that's a bar none of it, right?
Well, so yeah.
It's like, how close can you get in touch with that to give that back to people? Like, I really believe that's what music's there for.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, recently I was talking with someone who spent years as a theater director, and my dad used to listen to my music on the radio all the time, and whenever I'd see him the next week, he'd go, why don't you write something that people can listen to with a beat and some music? You know, I write a lot of really odd, out there stuff. There's a good 40 hours of this phase, all right? Like, I was on the radio for 5 years with it, and you know, it's...
Dude, I swear, we probably have, like, 400 hours.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
cassette tape.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way.
Yeah, boxes of cassette tape.
Yeah.
We don't know what to do.
No, my analog 4-track I still use to this day, man. All day long.
Yeah, but we got cassette tapes. We've been playing music for 10 years. It's like, shit, where'd that time, dude?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well,
I don't, you know, it's amazing because you don't really find yourself thinking about, like, once you've just been rocking for a long time, you just don't think about, like, how much random ass, like, shit recording, you create, dude. Yeah. And, like, yeah. Because recording has become such a, I mean, it's so easy. I mean, I can record a track on my phone right now.
Yeah.
That sounds like, you know,
fairly
like,
decent
we'll
quality.
We'll
if you're in a
you know,
quiet
like,
environment
oh,
with a good mic on
yeah,
it,
yeah.
It's great.
I mean, and, you know, so it does, dude. It's like, you know, you have so much recorded music.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know, like, and it's funny. It's and it is. It's like on every format that, like, yeah. You know, we have
oh,
on tape, dude. I have like 400 CDs.
Do you have it on mini disc?
No,
because I was a mini disc fanatic, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Because it would actually let me make like eight or nine different mix downs of a song, and I could listen to it and on the fly be like, "Yeah, number three, you gotta go." Boom, and just like delete it off the mini disc while I was driving down the road. Like, I could totally arrange a mix, get to a stopping point and be like, all right, track three needs to go first, track two needs to go to the end. Boop, boop. And I can sit there on my little mini disc recorder and like actually change it in my car and then open it up and lock it down like a CD, like a disc
have,
for
like,
a computer.
A mixing board in your car.
Yeah.
So you can, like,
yeah.
You have everything.
You just all
like,
use your computer.
I would
die.
Your
mix and you're driving
I would be
around.
Dead.
Yeah, right. You turn the cars up a little bit.
Just get a driver.
Talking to your
driving
car.
Driving around.
Like, car. Track one down 3 decibels.
Yes.
Like, okay.
Exactly.
Hey, those Google cars
super
are coming
producer
out.
Car.
When they start driving you around, you know.
That's like, it. That's it.
You know.
Hey, if the cops can drive around and use a laptop, I'm sure I can mix music while I'm driving. Come on.
I bet you like Rick
like
Rubin.
It's 8 tracks. I'm not doing stem tracks, officer. Come on.
That's all. So,
it's just an 8-track analog mix. What's the problem?
Yeah.
There's no screen. It's not a handheld
device. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not gonna get
exactly.
Can't
but
I bet you like Rick Rubin and Jimmy Iovine already have that shit. They're just like rolling down the street like baller producers. Dre produced his last album.
Right.
Like, yo, car, turn it down. Track three down.
Well,
synth on track 8.
Well, you know, it's different whenever you're driving around in a limo, you know? You can totally have your monitor speakers in there with a powered sub and a mixing console.
Yeah, but they're not in a limo.
Little
like,
fridge.
Rick Rubin's like
you
rolling
need
around
at least
on Patrick Carpenter. For real, like, everything I touch is gold, baby.
That's classy. Absolutely true.
Yeah, dude, for real. He's got all those badass pictures just, like, chilling, like, sitting, like, in meditation pose, like, by the desert.
Right.
Like,
you know, you know what's funny? This, I work a lot of really high-end corporate events. There's one that I work every year in Houston that's like the entire Hilton Americas is rented out. There's crazy security, like the Bushes come, all kinds of people. Like, I had the president of Iceland on my stage, you know, just crazy stuff. And one of the techs, we're sitting there having beers in my room one night, and we're talking about the day's events in our rooms, and he's like, yeah, so I'm sitting there, and there's this dude in blue jeans and a polo, you know, kind of out of place with what we're doing, you know, like, we have to be in suits and ties. Everyone's pretty much in suit and tie. There's a huge oil and natural gas event from all over the world, and here's this dude in a polo sitting in my tech booth, just jack and jaw with me, you know, just joking around. We're talking about all the stiffs up on stage and stuff like that. And I'm like, excuse me, sir, I actually need to find my next presenter. It's some gentleman named Steve Forbes. Oh, that's me. He's actually just sitting there, like, making fun of the people on stage with Steve Forbes and stuff like that. He's just apparently this laid-back guy. He's, like, in blue jeans and a polo shirt, not dressed up in a suit, just making fun of people at a corporate conference. That's awesome. But, yeah, you know, it is one of those, at least to me anyway, even whenever I worked with bands, even whenever I ran sound in clubs all the time, that synergistic moment, that moment where things tied together on stage, like, I could feel it at the back of the room in the sound booth. And that's how I knew I was doing my job. To me, the show always started with monitor mix. Like, if you're not happy with what you're hearing on stage, it's going to translate directly through the audience. You know, it's like ripples in a pond.
Yeah,
if your vibe isn't good up there, it's just going to be muddled out in the audience.
I don't know, man. I think for us, we just kind of go, especially on the stage, it's like, I could give two shits how I sound to myself, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we just got to connect on that level. And like, you know, my monitor mix is good. Cool. You know, I mean, everybody loves, you know, good sound and, you know, being, but like, I don't really feel like, cause we jam so much. It's like, do you, you know, even what you're hearing, it's about what you're feeling, you know what I mean? And like, we try to just work with whatever we can get on stage, you know, like, and, you know, like, if I can't hear myself sing, you know, I'll just sing louder, you know what I mean?
We also, like, it's like kind of like with the songs we play in our set and everything, we kind of like, if I can't hear something, it's we have this energy going between us that we know what we're doing. Like, I don't even have to be plugged in sometimes to my guitar. I just like know exactly like what I'm feeling and like what I'm trying to project to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of our goals, I think, is to like have all of our energy like combine together and just spray it out.
Let's make a big deal out of this.
Just share it with everybody.
Pause.
All over everywhere.
Share.
But to share it, not spray. Sorry.
It is the fact, though, that literally y'all are fantastic at controlling your dynamic. And that is something that is, it's so entirely hard to do, to actually control and rein in that excitement when you can feel it start to happen, when you can feel that visceral energy start to build, to actually still keep it there and not like spoil it. Like, I actually got to experience that tonight. I guess it was toward the end where y'all are like, dude, that was a great, like, friggin' badass jam. That was really sweet.
Yeah.
But I could tell that y'all were completely and utterly like reining that in and kind of entraining it where you wanted it to go. What is that situation like? Where does that come from?
Thank you again.
I think we played a lot of shows in the 10 years mm-hmm. together. And even before we were a band, Ryan and Brock played in a band together, and they played even more shows. So I think a lot of it is just playing a lot of shows, really. I mean, when you do that, you start becoming comfortable in environments, right?
Yeah.
And when you become so comfortable in environments, it's really, I think, goes back to this, which was your previous question also. It's like the vibe we create in our jam room, right? And when we rock out, the four of us, like, we've been through enough, like, life-wise, experience-wise, music-wise, that we all know what we're feeling, right? But if we, like, hone in on that, and then that feeling that we have in that jam room, when we step on the stage, we bring that same feeling, we know it's going to connect with the people, right?
Yeah.
It's truly a force of the four of us, not just a singularity of, like, just him.
Yeah.
Just him. It's the four of us coming together to bring that out.
Yeah.
So when we do that, it's like, whoa, okay, to do that, we have to have control in how we're feeling as well and how we're displaying that emotion, right? I credit it a lot because we played this big show earlier this year, Edgefest in Dallas. It was the first time we played in a stadium like with 5,000 people.
Wow, wow.
So it was like a big jump for us because, like, you know, it took us 10 years to get to that point of actually getting into a position to do that.
Kind of blew my final question of favorite gig ever. I think it led right into that.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely cool, but there's definitely been some fun shows.
We just played in San Antonio.
That was awesome.
Where there was a state, there was no
It was
stage.
A biker bar. It was a biker bar.
PA speakers on the floor, and the only lights in there were the lights above the bar.
Nice.
Yeah. So it wasn't like a biker bar, like the biker bar you're thinking of in San Antonio, though. It was like some sort of like bicycle club.
There's a fight. There's a fight that broke out. Yeah. I was trying to get our money out of there.
Soup was up on the wall. Soup was up on the wall. That shit was bad. You know, some tight graffiti. It was hood as fuck.
Yeah.
In your mind, you think like there's gonna be some like Harleys here, but then like it's like 700 bicycles.
It's not that y'all's vibe wouldn't necessarily go.
Oh no, we had a blast. We were like, this is awesome.
We played in between two metal bands. There was like experimental, like death metal, awesome,
nice,
and a more traditional, like death metal,
awesome.
They grooved more to us than other bands. Yeah. Were great.
Were they at least?
Brian and I were like jumping in the crowd. You know what I mean? Like.
Nice.
I mean, it was. I mean, I was like, you're standing there, and people are just partying. I mean, there's probably like 100 people there or something in this tiny little bar. You know?
Nice, nice.
Like, it's packed, you know, and you're like standing. It was.
Was it like a Texas Roadhouse type situation
it was like
a temporary building outside?
No. It was like it was a biker bar.
Okay,
you know,
okay. You know, most biker bars in Texas really
were in the building that night.
Really,
you know?
Amount to like a temporary building with like a couple of bay doors, like what you go up to like an old dude's garage out in the country, you know, like where you go to have your oil changed, and at night he puts some liquor in the cabinet and we wreck it. You know, it's like that's what most biker bars seem to be to me in Texas. But that
it's like an old house.
Nice. Okay.
They're like playing the basketball when we showed up.
The nicest people were there too.
That's great.
That's awesome. San Antonio, man.
Yeah.
San Antonio is getting a lot of shout outs here.
Well, like, it is a great
even from
town.
The Houston guys, That's what's weird about it.
Well, no, it is a really, really great town, you know. It's one of those that much like Houston, I think it's kind of a bad rap.
Yeah.
You know, Houston's great if you know the places in town to go. People kind of have.
If you actually live in Houston and not one of the like outside suburbs.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, it's like my family lives in Katy. I'm from the west side of Houston, you know, but I used to run sound like square in downtown Houston at Last Concert Cafe.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
We probably met each other.
For many, many years.
Yeah, we were probably there.
I was the regular Thursday night sound guy
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
We were there for many shows.
I used to run sound for Carol in Wonderland at one point out there on Tuesday nights. And yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
Yeah.
We grew up in Houston.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, but it is one of those things that like people forget. It's an hour north to south, east to west without traffic. Like, it's a huge town. So it's like, oh, there's nothing going on. It's like, no, there's stuff going on. It's just like over there.
Like, it takes forever to get
It's like in Houston to like travel those like hour, you travel like 30 miles, like not 30 miles.
It's insane.
You travel many miles.
It's insane. Yeah.
Travel many miles
and then
across
Austin,
Houston.
It's like, I need to go across.
It's a trek.
Like,
it's a trek.
Just
it's a trek.
Long.
And, you know, it. It was literally
it's super hot.
I remember
lots of water.
Yeah,
I love Austin.
Dude, yeah,
I love Austin. Austin.
Yeah. It's great. Austin. It really is, Austin, and it was Austin. It was one of those it was one of those towns for me, honestly, that I hated growing up and Austin? Coming up. Yeah. Yeah, I really did. I mean, I went to school in Dallas, and I had friends that went to college in Austin from high school, stuff like that. And I guess it was one of those, whenever friends, there were a lot of people from out of state that went to my little school in Irving. And, you know, it was one of those like, hey, let's go to Austin. It's like right down the road. You know, hey, 2 hours is nothing. You know, yeah. Well, even whenever I lived in Houston, it was like people would come to visit me. Yeah, people would come to visit me, and they'd be like, "Hey, let's go to Austin." And it's like, "Damn, it's 2 hours down the road. That's way too short to tell them no when they're in from out of state." So we'd have to always stay at some frat dude's house, or you know, like
I love how Texas has that one store. You know, like everywhere in between every major city here, it's like, oh, I got to stop at that one store.
Yeah, Ruskus.
That one thing.
Ruskus. Ruskus is the one. Yeah,
way better than West Texas.
Like you're driving to Dallas. No, dude, West Texas, same thing. You got that one spot. Yeah, one thing, but it's like seven times, dude.
The hot chubbies will mess you up.
Zing, zing. There it is.
That's West. That's in West Texas.
Yeah.
On the way to Dallas.
I was saying West.
Check. It's actually. Check. It's, well, it's West Texas. Like.
Yeah, yeah. The town of West.
Not, like, not like the West. Town. I thought you meant West Texas, like. Like the western side of Texas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I love western Texas.
My
map.
You do have here. The map of Texas over there.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Map of heaven.
Yes.
That's what I call it.
Nice.
Oh, heaven, that's what you call it?
Well, you know,
this is what heaven looks
I've
like.
I was actually listening to the radio the other day and hearing about the big music festival coming up in Marfa.
Oh, man.
There's apparently y'all should.
I want to go see the Marfa
Light. I do, too.
And I really want to go to a star party.
Ooh,
yeah.
What's a star
party? What's a star party, dog?
They all go to the, it's like the observatory. Yep. Like, you can go in there, you can like see some stuff. And when we went for EdgeFest, McDonald, there it is. That's the one.
Yeah.
I don't like to say that word.
There's actually a guy out near Belleville.
Yeah, it doesn't have an S. I'm sorry.
You were talking about star parties. There's a guy out near Belleville that actually built his own castle, number one. Like, castle, that, yeah. Yo, like with a moat, everything on top of that.
I have one of those actually.
I have
one of those
that you
I
live in.
I don't live
you
in
have
it.
A castle?
Okay,
yeah, it's in South Carolina.
Oh,
yeah, he has a castle?
I have a castle.
Wow,
it's got a moat, it has like the most badass studio of all time.
Wow.
That's all I can say. That's all I can say.
Okay,
right now.
Okay.
Is
it the new government facility that's in South Carolina?
It's an undisclosed
location. Underground?
It's in an undisclosed location in the state of South Carolina.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
I have a castle.
I made a castle.
So,
I really did.
Like a sand castle?
No, it's made out of sugar cubes.
Ooh.
It's an
igloo.
Nice. It was the saddest but sweetest dream ever when it got melted.
I made a castle out of sugar cubes. Yeah. But it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, the guy in Belleville actually hosts star parties at his castle at the top in the parapet.
Awesome.
He has a huge observatory with a large telescope.
Dude, this guy
and it's dope. It's really sweet.
House, before he played EdgeFest, and he had like Tad.
Shout out
to Tad.
Nice.
Drum set.
Tad.
Yeah, he's got the sickest drum set, probably.
It's literally a room. It's the whole
literally a room. I mean, I'm just going to say the Tom Sawyer could be played on that drum set.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
With one hand.
With one hand.
Ooh.
I actually did it twice.
Oh.
Yeah. Outside of my castle, which is crazy.
All right. But,
I did it too. I blacked out though, so
it's all right.
But he also had a really awesome telescope, so it was so cool, man. You could see out like what you could see Saturn, or he had pictures of Saturn's rings from like one time it was close or something.
We saw Saturn.
And I could see Uranus from where I was staying.
That's pretty sweet. On that note, everybody, please, do you guys have any shows coming up soon? Do y'all have anything, any shows y'all want to plug?
We're playing at Lambert's in September.
Okay, where is Lambert's at?
It's downtown Austin.
Off of La Blanca. No.
What's the date? Guadalupe, what time?
In September.
Second Street.
Okay.
September. That's all we can say at the moment because I don't.
We haven't released the date yet.
We have what date? I don't know what date it is, but we're playing with our buddies Armstrong and Lee.
Okay.
Who are awesome and just coming off the road. From a really cool little summer tour.
Great guitar, great vocals.
Yeah. And they're really in the studio right
nice.
Now.
Nice.
Yeah, they opened up for Vance Joy.
Played some festivals. So we're excited to play with them, welcome them back to town. And then, to be determined, next show.
Yeah.
We've been talking about going in the studio some more, maybe try to do it.
Yeah, because I mean, y'all really enjoy the whole little EP process
definitely,
and that kind
nothing,
of stuff.
Nothing substitutes for the shows. I mean, that's kind of where we want to be.
Best energy, the shows.
Yeah.
Best experience overall.
Well, it's where you get to feel it bounce back off the wall.
Yeah.
You know, really. Yeah.
We're also looking really forward to writing and like our new thing is to like throw like half written. Songs into our set.
Just in between things, stuff like that.
And that's when
just
you, like,
is
really feel like you're like, all right, I know what we need to do differently.
Yeah, especially if it's something within the key between two songs that you can kind of mid-drift in between and really see how the crowd responds to it, that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
Experimental, fun things with your audience. So,
we've also been getting into adding like different synth sounds, and we have this Roland Octopad that we add like crazy
noise
with.
Nice.
Completely changed.
Well, yeah, and I mean, you play. We were talking earlier. You play a lot of guitar
game
synth
changer.
Things like that. Y'all have keyboards,
exactly.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and I mean, my first show was UGK 36 Mafia. Shout outs to hip hop and rap. Yeah. I was trying to say something with Trudy. A lot of hip hop rap music's a lot of samples and synth sounds.
Yep.
You know, that was kind of my take. Away from that, adding that to my guitar sound a little bit.
Well, my first show is actually The Offspring on Earth Day.
Wow.
We kind of opened up for The Offspring.
Okay.
Technically, we kind of.
Number one,
right
The Offspring on Earth Day.
Let's
take a moment to grasp that.
I mean, The Offspring loves Earth, man.
Oh, absolutely. I could see that. They are a fun band, and they actually have a great message. They're one of those, the message behind their music is great.
So I mean, when we opened up room, we saw Offspring later that night. That's what I took from the show, like you bring this good vibe to all these people and they just want to have fun.
Yeah,
just have a party vibe, and it's like, yeah,
sure.
That's cool shit.
Most definitely.
Those guys are awesome. Yeah. They had a really great career as independent artists. Which I don't think a ton of people know about, but. I mean, you know, they have one of the most successful albums by an independent artist in the history of music.
Yeah.
So,
no, that album was friggin' monster, dude.
Offspring,
it was huge.
Smash.
It was huge. Yeah. Well, and everybody can go online, www.ourband.com. That's where you can listen to the music. You can listen to it on SoundCloud there.
Spotify.
iTunes,
Google Play. However you listen
YouTube,
to music.
YouTube.
Can hit us up and we'll send it to you.
Where can they purchase the album?
Any of the aforementioned zones for sure.
Okay.
Apple.
Come up to us on the street
iTunes.
And we'll just give you a handmade custom Our Band CD.
Which is awesome. I loved it.
If you write us a letter, then we will mail it to you for free.
Yeah, for sure.
Nice.
For sure. Any sort of letter.
Well, fantastic. We're going to go out here in just a minute with a little bit of Fool's Gold off the album. While you're online, please make sure to stop on by the Talking Sound Show. www.talkingsoundshow.com is the website. There you can find all of the technical articles, technical episodes like this where we sit around, talk with bands, musicians, engineers about the art, the beauty that is music. In addition to that, you can also visit our Patreon page, patreon.com/talkingsound. There you can support the cause. You can give as much as you want every month, from 10 cents a month to $10 a month. All of our information is free. We give all the episodes away for free. We're looking at a podcast app coming out soon that'll let all this stuff come straight to your phone and exclusive content as well. So once again, everybody, I am Chris Jordan, your host. This is The Hour Band, and this has been the Talking Sound Podcast. Until next time, keep reaching for 11. We'll talk to you soon. Take care, everybody.
This is Talking Sound.